Welcome to the Pair Networks Insider Newsletter Podcast, June 2007. Each month, we'll discuss what's new at Pair Networks and bring you information from the world of web design. This is Scott, and our co-host is Megan.
Hey, everyone. Before we get started, here's some featured topics we'll discuss today. First, we'll talk about the great discounts and specials we have for June. Next, we'll talk about the newly released schedule for our FreeBSD 6.2 upgrade. We'll announce the latest limited-time Pairnet discounts, as well as talk about the features of the newly released email forwarding service for Pairnet customers. We also have a NetShaker interview for you with Brian Foy, the publisher and editor of the Pearl Review. Following that, we'll talk about the limited-time Pairlight double-term special and discuss the difference between Pairlight hobby hosting and PairNetworks premium web hosting. We'll talk about a few interesting customer sites in our customer spotlight section. And after that, we'll give you a couple tips on how to make the most of your online store. And last but not least, we have a few thought-provoking PairNetworks statistics to share with you.
Thanks, Megan. We have a whole host of special discounts for you this month. No pun intended. All current customers can take advantage of our 12 months for 24% off special from now until the end of July 2007. Just contact billing at pair.com and ask to have the 12 for 24 special applied to your July 2007 bill. A few details here for you. This special does not apply to setup fees or any services added in the past or the future. It only applies to the services that you're being billed for right now. All services listed on your billing account will be billed for 12 months if you request the special. The special will be applied only in July 2007, but you're welcome to request it now. However, it will not be applied until next month. Just contact billing at pair.com with any questions. Also this month, we're waiving the setup fees for our popular webmaster hosting plan. Visit pair.com for details on that special. For brand new customers, we have triple prepayment discounts. That means the longer the term, the more money you'll save on a new account, up to 24% off. Just go to signup.pair.com to find the account that's right for you. You can also save some cash if you are leaving your current web host and switching to Pair Networks. Simply type in the word refugee in the coupon code field when you're signing up for an account. That's R-E-F-U-G-E-E, as in web hosting refugee, and we'll waive your web hosting setup fees. We have more discounts to talk about here. If you want to add domain names to your web hosting account using dedicated IP domain hosting, you can save some money on the domain hosting setup fees by adding a bunch at one time. As you'd expect, certain restrictions apply to all of our specials. Please visit our website for complete details. Megan will now talk about the recently published FreeBSD 6.2 upgrade schedule.
The schedule for our FreeBSD 6.2 upgrade has now been published and is currently underway. For those of you not aware of this upgrade, we are moving from FreeBSD 4.8 stable to FreeBSD 6.2 release P1. You can take a look at the upgrade schedule and learn more about the upgrade itself at pair.com/support/notices/62-upgrade.html.
FreeBSD 6.2 will significantly improve the system performance, stability, and security of our servers, which rank pretty highly in those areas already. Next on our list is a NetShaker interview with Brian Foy. We often interview the movers and shakers of the internet and ask them about the latest developments in their areas of expertise. This month, we're featuring Brian Foy, who is the publisher and editor of the Pearl Review. He's also been an instructor for Stonehenge Consulting Services since 1998. A prolific writer, Brian has written for publications such as the Pearl Journal, Dr. Dobbs, and the Pearl Review. Hope you enjoyed the interview.
So, Brian, to get started, why should a serious Perl developer care about a scripting language like Perl anymore anyway?
Perl is just really another tool in the toolbox. So it's not necessarily that you have to pick a side and say, I'm going to be a Perl programmer, or I'm going to be a Ruby programmer, or I'm going to be this sort of programmer. A really good programmer, a serious developer, is going to learn a lot of languages and then look at the problem he has and say, what is the right tool for this particular task? I still use Perl quite a bit, obviously, because it's a great language just to move data around. I get a, I do a lot of data processing, so I get a big chunk of data, and I have to sort of parse through that and move it around and sort of put it into data structures where I can then play with it and analyze it. And Perl is just the quickest way for me to do that. I've tried to do that in some other languages, and it still seems to be that Perl is the key language in that particular area. But like I said, you know, serious developers should learn other things and then decide per project what they really want to use.
Absolutely. I know I've had to do some parsing in other languages, and it can certainly be painful. Perl is certainly a joy for that. Given the expansive CPAN archive, which is certainly a big draw to Perl developers, and the availability of some code reuse, do you have a particular favorite Perl module?
Oh, geez. Well, I have a favorite module in CPAN. I know you asked me this in email, and I forget exactly what I told you, and I think I said that it would change depending on what day you asked me. I know this morning I was doing a bunch of stuff with date time, Dave Rolsky's module, to sort of turn things into easy date objects. But really, I don't know if I have one that really stands out. There are just so many that are really useful. I was just messing around with Template Toolkit this morning. It's still my favorite templating module for sort of medium-sized projects. Let's see, what else? I don't know. It's really hard to pick one and sort of play favorites. I know I've sort of mentioned a couple, but there's just so many good ones on CPAN. I mean, it has something like 11,000 distributions now, and if there's something out there you want to do, it's probably already been done in Perl and on CPAN.
Right. That's what I find. I mean, for me, my favorite CPAN module is the one that saves my, you know, job day.
Yeah.
Or makes my work a lot easier.
The one that gets you to the end of the day and lets you go home. That's the favorite one.
Yeah, I mean, because let's face it, a lot of the problems we face, someone else has faced them before us. So that's nice. Okay, well, what is the most interesting problem that you see, you know, being solved in Perl today? I mean, you get with your work with Stonehenge and the Perl Review, I'm sure you get a nice survey of what people are doing these days.
I don't know what the most interesting stuff is out there is. I probably think that there's probably some group of people that never talk online or never really talk about what they're doing, but they're using Perl for something amazingly interesting that we just never get to see. I've been to lots of different places, and whether it's a private industry or government or educational institutions, and they all have their own interesting problems. I think still the one that I've really been impressed with is either playing with Perl for some sort of geocoding, where you're just taking massive amounts of map data and doing something with it to, you know, put that on a Google map or overlay it on some sort of map. Or some of the stuff that I saw at the U.S. Census Bureau, you know, in the U.S. we have to do a census every 10 years. And so they get all this data, and it's just sitting there. It's just data, and it's not really useful until you digest it and take out the stuff that you want and display it somehow. And they were doing a lot of that stuff with Perl, and that's just amazingly useful for them. I've always been interested in really big data sets and sort of extracting information so you can sort of understand stuff. And so anything where you can take a bunch of data and graph it is an interesting use of Perl for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Perl has certainly been undergoing some changes over the past few years. Certainly a lot of nice things going on that will be added to Perl 10, but of course a lot of the spotlight has continued to be on Perl 6 and Parrot, but some people seem to be kind of confused by the two because the model's changing just a little bit for us. Could you explain the differences to Perl or to people about Perl 6 and Parrot?
Sure. Well, right now Perl, which is, I think the current version is, well, I know the current version is still 5.8 point something, and 5.10 is coming up very soon. You have the language, and then you have the thing that takes your text file, which has your script written in the Perl language, and that thing compiles it and then runs the result of that compilation. Right now, that's all done by this binary called Perl. It's the thing that when you type out Perl on the command line is the program behind that thing. Perl 6 is going to operate a bit differently than that. There's Perl 6, the language, which is the stuff that we'll type in the files, but then there can be different things that actually run that. right now there's one project called PUGS, the Perl Users Golfing System, which is sort of a toy implementation in Haskell. But then there's also this other thing called Parrot, which is a more generic dynamic language interpreter, where they just want to take a bunch of different things, say it's Perl or Python, Tickle or Luau or something like that, and all compile these down to the same thing. These are all coming from text somewhere. And then once we have that compiled down to whatever it is, this thing, Parrot, can run this stuff. Now what's really interesting is that Perl 6 will be sitting there as a language and you can write stuff in it, but then Parrot, since it can compile all these different things, or, you know, that's where it will get to, can take some Perl 6 code, it can take some Python code, it can take some other code, and once it's all compiled, it forgets where it came from, basically, and can all work together. I mean, that's a really tough nut, and they're still trying to crack that thing. But that's really the difference there. And the exciting thing about Parrot is that it's going to now allow us to connect all these different sources. And that goes back to sort of the first question, is why should anyone care about Perl? Well, it's just another tool, and now Parrot's going to have a way for us to combine all these tools, so we don't have to have a library to do this thing in Perl, but then rewrite the same library to do it in Python or to do it in Ruby or whatever. So that's sort of the exciting thing about this new development and the direction that Perl 6 will be going. It's going to be much more environmentally aware, and so I think much more useful.
Fantastic. Well, that kind of leads to, so PUGS is a Perl 6 that we can kind of already play with, and Parrot is somewhat where we can play with it. And people kind of tend to be complaining about how hard PUGS and Parrot are to install, but luckily for Pear customers, our new FreeBSD build will include PUGS and Parrot. So as exciting as all this is, how do people get started playing with Perl 6 and Parrot from someone who's, you know, been out there training and teaching people? What advice do you have for folks?
Well, if this was like 6 months ago, I would say you're going to have to go through all the pain and suffering of installing these things. PUGS and Parrot are both still sort of very early projects, and like you said, they are an absolute tedious bore to install. I mean, I am no stranger to installing and compiling things, and even these things just frustrate me. And that's really because they're developing so fast, and they're so bleeding edge that they're not to the point where they're saying, we're making this for the consumer yet. But Pear now, which is super exciting, is going to have these things compiled for you. So I just log into my Pear account, and I can run PUGS, or I can use Parrot without having to do that myself, which is just an amazing thing to get from a hosting company. I mean, most people just want to take your money, you know, and here's your little web area, and you go off and do the thing with the limited number of products we give you. And Pear is sort of going the opposite direction, it seems, where you got this great development environment, but also if you just sort of want to fool around with sort of this bleeding-edge technology, it's available there in your account. And you're getting it for a very competitive price compared to some of these other hosting companies. So I don't even know if you'd call Pear like a hosting company anymore. It's like along with that, you're getting basically someone is giving you a top-notch development environment with no, you're not telling you what to do with it. It's I haven't actually looked at the stuff this week to see how you guys are doing with that, but when you first announced it, I gave it a whirl, and I'm excited that I'm going to save all that work having to do that stuff myself.
Well, it's exciting even more because now we have a new product offering with Pear Lite that will also be offering the same build, so that'll be really nice for people as well. So,
fantastic.
Yeah. So how did you end up coming to host with Pear Networks to begin with?
Actually, I started at Pear when I first started the Perl Review. I don't remember who I talked to there initially, but I had announced that I was going to do this new Perl magazine. I think this was somewhere around 2000 or 2001. And someone from Pear contacted me and said, we'd like to host this, which was sort of out of the blue and sort of surprised me because I was just getting started and didn't have a track record with the magazine, and someone liked it, liked the idea well enough to want to do that, and it's really been a very useful part of the venture, because Pear just has everything installed that I need. I don't have to ask anyone to install any modules that I need for the website or for the, you know, the credit card processing or any of the other sort of fancy things I wanted to do. And I don't know if I could have gotten that level of service at another company. So I was really, I guess, just fortunate that someone noticed me.
Well, that's fantastic. Any final thoughts you have out there for Perl developers, new and old?
Well, I said this before, and I don't want to sound too much like a cheerleader for Pear, but in a couple of interviews, I said, you know, this using a Pear account is about the closest you can get to hosting your own machine. I mean, if Pear doesn't do it for you, you basically are going to have your own box and administer it yourself. And I actually have an article in the current issue of the Perl Review, the summer 2000 issue of the Perl Review, that says, basically, to keep yourself from going crazy, you want to stop being a system administrator. I mean, if you're administering your own box, you're probably wasting a bunch of time. You know, some people like that, but I don't particularly like that. I find that Pear does all that stuff for me. It always has the current stuff. It just works. I haven't had any problem with downtime. So if you just want to concentrate on programming, Pear is an excellent place to do it. I mean, if you want to be a system administrator, fine, go off and do it yourself. But otherwise, I have been happy with Pear for years.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, it took me a while to realize that the interesting problem isn't installing a CPAN module. It's actually writing some code that uses that.
Exactly.
And I have to say, it is really nice from me wearing my customer hat of Pear that I don't have to deal with that stuff either. I mean, I certainly have my own dev boxes at home that I admin to some degree, but yeah. Having someone else do it for you is absolutely fantastic.
So. Yes, it is.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so very much for taking the time to talk with me today and all the work you do in the Perl community.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Megan will now introduce some new Pearnik specials and discuss the recently released email forwarding feature.
Yes, yeah, Scott, if you've been thinking about registering or transferring a domain name, you should definitely do so this month. First, to celebrate Pearnik's 5th anniversary, you can register, transfer, or renew a domain name for 5 years for only $50. That's a $15 savings over our regular price. This limited-time special is for .com, .net, .org, .biz, .us, and .info domain names. Also, for a limited time, if you have any non-Pearnik domain names, you can transfer them to Pearnik for only $10 per domain year. Only .com, .net, .org, .biz, .us, and .info domain names are eligible for this special. Go to Pearnik.com to take advantage of these specials. Restrictions do apply, so contact support at Pearnik.com for more details. We also want to talk about the recently launched free email forwarding service for Pearnik customers. This service allows for multiple email forwards, website forwarding, domain name parking, all delivered in an intuitive, newly designed interface. This feature can be found in the Pearnik Domain Name Management interface under the Manage Domain Name section. Next, Scott will bring you the latest and greatest information about our newest service, PearLite.
Yes, Megan, our latest service, PearLite, is a great hobby web hosting service that allows savvy webmasters to tinker with technologies such as Perl, PHP, MySQL, and Ruby, and for web hobbyists looking to get their site online inexpensively. To celebrate PearLite's grand opening, we're offering a limited-time double contract term special. Just choose a 3, 6, or 12-month term, and we'll double it for the same price. So for example, for only $99.99, plus a one-time $30 setup fee, you can enjoy PearLite web hosting for 2 whole years. If this sounds good to you, then just go to pearlite.com/signup today. That's PearLite.com/signup. Next on the list, we've been asked recently, what's the difference between PearLite Hobby Hosting and Pear Network's Premium Web Hosting? Well, we'd like to address that today. PearLite is a good solution for hobbyists and savvy webmasters who want to noodle with web technologies for a low cost. But there are 5 main differences of why Pear Network's Premium Web Hosting is the best solution for many individuals. First, PearLite has contract terms. You pay for either a 3, 6, or 12-month contract term with Pearlite. After the first 30 days of service, there are no refunds. With Pear Network's premium web hosting, we'll refund your money for the time that you did not use. Second, Pearlite resources have hard limits on them. There are no overusage fees with Pearlite because all resources have that hard limit, which means that your website might not work if you go over these limits. With Pear Network's premium web hosting, you can use as much resources as you wish. Of course, overusage fees may apply, and you can upgrade to a higher level account if you feel that you need more resources such as bandwidth or disk space. The third major difference is that Pearlite only offers email support. To be able to offer you development tools at a lower cost, Pearlite offers email support only. With Pear Network's premium web hosting, all accounts aside from the FTP account type offer phone support. And even with the FTP account, you can still access support over the phone for the first 15 days of service. Fourth on the list is that no add-on services are available at this time with a Pearlite account. With Pear Network's premium web hosting, you can add a multitude of services such as movable type, SSL, and the powerful ShopSite shopping cart application. The last major difference that we'll talk about today is that only US and Canadian individuals can use Pearlite at this time. Pear Network's premium web hosting, however, serves customers from over 150 countries all over the planet. While there are other differences between Pearlite and Pear Network's premium web hosting, such as the fact that you can only host up to 10 domain names on a Pearlite account, and that Pearlite uses only shared IP domain hosting, these five main differences that we've talked about are the main factors between Pearlite hobby hosting and Pear Network's premium web hosting. If you are interested in a Pearlite account, you can email sales@pearlite.com or call toll-free in the U.S. and Canada 1-877-PAIRNET. That's 1-877-724-7638. Megan will now feature some interesting customer websites in our popular Customer Spotlight section.
Thanks, Scott. Pearlite is a great new hosting solution for all the hobbyists out there. Definitely check it out at pearlite.com. Moving on to our Customer Spotlight segment, the first customer that we're pointing the spotlight on today is clothesoffourback.org. Clothes Off Our Back is a 501c3 organization that hosts charity auctions showcasing today's hottest celebrity attire. Next up is pastoralfurniture.com, which builds traditional wood outdoor garden tables designed specifically for historic properties. Final customer spotlight customer is great for all of you taking road trips this summer, roadsideamerica.com. Roadsideamerica.com is an online guide to offbeat tourist attractions. Next up, Scott will offer you some tips on how to make the most of your online store.
Thanks, Megan. Many online stores not only present you with the products you've searched for, they also try to show you related products, thereby attempting to upsell and cross-sell you on other options. Before we get into using these techniques with your website, let's discuss just what upselling and cross-selling really are. First, the term upsell refers to displaying similar items to the ones you've searched for that have more features and are usually more expensive. For example, if you sell televisions on your online store and someone searches for a 12-inch tube TV, you may also display related and more expensive options, such as a 27 to 32-inch flat-panel high-definition television. Cross-selling, on the other hand, involves selling related items or accessories to customers. For example, if you sell guitars online, you can display related items such as strings, guitar tuners, and picks. If you sell books, you could display other books in a similar genre, or items such as bookmarks and book lights. Upselling and cross-selling are classic sales techniques that have been used for years. If you've ever purchased a meal at a fast food restaurant and were asked if you want to upgrade to the larger value meal, you've just been upsold. E-commerce technology now allows you to take such techniques and use them in the virtual world of e-commerce. If you're using e-commerce tools such as ShopSite, which is offered by Pear Networks, you can also make your online store work for you. ShopSite allows you to display related items or accessories when your customers search for products. For example, if you have an online hardware store and your customers search for an electric drill, you can now offer them the ability to buy extra drill bits or related tool sets. Doing so will allow your website to be your best salesperson and likely increase your sales in no time at all. For more information on Pear Network's e-commerce offerings, please visit pear.com/services/e-commerce. If you haven't turned your Pear Network's website into an e-commerce store yet, please contact our friendly support team at support@pear.com, and they'll help you get your online business up and running. To conclude the podcast, Megan will now give you a couple interesting Pear Network statistics.
All right, we've got a couple quick stats for you here. The site that includes our referral program banner ads, promote.pear.com, has served over 4 billion banners since 2002. The other interesting tidbit we have here is Pear Networks has been online now for more than 137 months. That's over 11 and a half years.
Well, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for downloading the June 2007 Pear Networks Insider Podcast. We look forward to bringing you the Insider Newsletter and the Insider Podcast each month. Bye until then.
Goodbye.